Welcome to the Eurovision Yearbook. This is a series where we take a look at the glory days of the Eurovision Song Contest and look back at the fond memories of a Eurovision artist. This week we are flipping the pages of the 1966 Eurovision Song Contest and exploring the life of Lill Lindfors, Sweden's representative in 1966 and the host of the contest in 1985. This is ESC 101. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to ESC 101, your home of Eurovision history and obscurity. This is the podcast where we take a look at the Eurovision Song Contest throughout the years to uncover the story behind the world's largest international televised music competition. Welcome to episode 11. My name is Alexander. Now, I am really excited to dive into the life of arguably one of the best Eurovision hosts of the Eurovision Song Contest, at least in my opinion. She's one of my favorite hosts of the contest in the 20th century, and an icon in both Sweden and 1980s Eurovision. This is basically going to be like a combo episode where we look at an individual who is both an artist and a host in the Eurovision Song Contest, so there's plenty to explore this week. Let's dive right into the life of Eurovision's most animated hosts of the 20th century.
Ladies and gentlemen, meine Damen und Herren, Mesdames et Messieurs, Miss Lill Lindfors.
Maj Lillmor Lindfors, or as we simply know her by Lill Lindfors, was born on May 12, 1940 in Helsinki, Finland. I actually had no idea she was Finnish, but it just shows just how international she truly is. Daughter of Nil Lindfors and Katrin Nyström, she moved to Sweden with her family when she was 8 years old. She attended the Vigsbyholmskolan, which is a Swedish friskola, a type of school that's not run by the state, but is rather funded by state taxes. These schools are basically operated by foundations, private nonprofits, or private companies. The Vigsbyholmskolan was one of Sweden's first mixed boarding schools, which operated from 1928 until 1972, and Lill performed music there when she was a student. In the late 1950s, Lill debuted her music career at the Hamburger Bowl, known in English as the Hamburger Exchange, which is the name of a tavern opened by Henrik Hamburg in the 17th century. Unfortunately, nothing to do with hamburgers, although maybe they serve hamburgers there, I have no idea. But what I do know is that it is a stage for bar shows called Krogshower, with many famous Swedish singers having performed on the stage. There have also been some international names like Johnny Cash, Frank Sinatra, and Liza Minnelli that have performed as well. Lill would mix in comedy with her music, becoming one of the first Swedish performers to do stand-up comedy in her shows. She debuted her acting career as a revue actress in 1960, doing Hag Gergert's New Year's revue Silidonen, and she also played in Carol Gerhardt's revue entitled Ersatka Hansken, translated as Excuse the Glove. She would continue to perform sold-out shows at the Hamburger Bowl and would star in a number of theatrical and music productions, including West Side Story, which she would play Anita in the first Swedish production of that musical. Her music career began taking off in 1962. When she first started, she didn't want to sing too much Schlager-style music, instead focusing on genres such as bossa nova and samba, becoming one of the first artists in Sweden to do so. She recorded one album with Åh Thonfisk before entering Melodifestivalen, the Swedish national selection show for Eurovision, and she recorded a second one in the same year as her debut in Eurovision. Lill debuted at the Eurovision Song Contest in 1966, paired with Svante Thuresson in a duet. Svante's life story will be covered in its own episode. Sweden had 898 song submissions, narrowing it down to 10 entries. Oddly enough, some artists, including Svant, had more than one song, which seems a bit narrow in the artist selection. But in either case, Lillen Svant's entry was song number 6, and ended up winning the national selection, getting 26 points, with second place's Carly Thornhav coming second with 19 points. In an interview with Lil Linfor done by Eurovision Radio International in 2020, she revealed that she and Svant belonged to different record companies at the time, and they were initially forbidden from recording together. Both Lil and Svant recorded the song that they would eventually end up singing together with different artists. And at one point, Lil and Svant ended up performing together in a show, and the companies eventually allowed them to enter Melody Festivalen together. Sweden chose to send both Lil and Svant to represent the country at the 11th Eurovision Song Contest held in Luxembourg City, Luxembourg, with the song Nygammal Vals, translated as New Old Waltz.
Vad i hela friden ser du i den gryter finns det gott om?
Grytan där den låter skönt, den ljuder grönt, en lajban klang. Vi har ett avtal, ta ett stick. Jag blir hipsrina huvudet, du kongens mun.
Ja, som prinsessa, visst man är himla. Ja, då min trummel om att ta min kastrull.
Normally I would save my reaction to this song for a Song of the Week segment, but I have chosen a different song for this week, and I cannot leave this song with anything other than a full review. This song is an attempt at recapturing an old-fashioned fairy tale using trendy 1960s expressions, which make no sense in 2023. The song on the Digiloo Thresh website is labeled as Nygammal Vals, Hipman Svineherd, or in English, New Old Waltz, Hip Pig Breeder. Hip, in this case, meaning cool or fashionable. The song tells a story about a pig breeder who plays his saucepan like a drum. I don't know why a pig breeder has a saucepan or why he's playing like a drum, but it's about a pig breeder. And there's also a princess who is the king's sweetheart. Or if you're literally translating the Swedish lyrics, she is the king's gold. Lil sings the words of the princess, and Svant sings the words of the pig breeder. The story goes that the pig breeder meets the princess and calls her a cool lady, complimenting her dress and asking if there's a fancy party that she's going to. The princess tells the man to get lost, calling him a peasant, but he tries to woo her with his drumming skills on the saucepan, and it works. The princess is so enthralled by his drumming skills that she practically begs him to teach her, offering a kiss in exchange. The pig breeder is smarter than that, demanding money instead, saying, "Every girl has a mouth. What about a coin instead? I drink from the brook, I eat soil. If you have a coin in your pocket, you're better off." It sounds like he gets his fair share of female attention, but I still don't understand why it's the drumming from his saucepan that apparently attracts women and not anything else of his quality. I have no idea. The princess really wants to drum on his saucepan, which I don't know if that's supposed to be a euphemism for something more suggestive or X-rated. I mean, why can't you learn to drum on literally anything else? I mean, is the saucepan supposed to be like a representation of him? Anyway, he sings, "Bang, gosh, the girl's in a hurry. What's so special about it? There are lots of saucepans." Again, I don't know if saucepan is supposed to be representing people, but here it is. The princess is adamant, offering a final deal. She offers that she will take his place as the hip pig breeder, and he can bring the king's sweetheart or gold. I honestly have no idea how that would even work in real life. I mean, surely the king would notice that his sweetheart has changed to a completely different person. And what does the princess know about being a pig breeder? I mean, clearly by the attitude of the princess, she doesn't really know much about hard work. I think this is just kind of a bit mind-boggling, but perhaps I'm putting too much thought into this. This is a fairy tale, so maybe there's like body-swapping magic involved or some universe-bending spell being cast. But in any case, the man ends up taking the deal. Living the life as a princess sounds like a pretty decent deal compared to being a pig breeder. The song lyrics continues as follows. He, as a princess, a hip man wearing clip-on ties, was thrown out of the castle by the guards. She, as a pig breeder, a prudish chick wearing a tie, drove everybody mad playing her saucepan. Trading your saucepan turned out to be a really bad idea. First off, I thought the original deal was to teach the princess how to drum in exchange for a kiss. He didn't even end up teaching her anything, just trading places with her. Second off, why are both of them wearing ties, with the now male princess wearing a clip-on tie? Pig breeders do not wear ties. I do not have any experience in agriculture, so maybe I'm completely out of touch, but as far as I know, pig breeders don't wear ties, because it would just end up getting messy as you're trying to, like, keep the pigs in line. Again, I'm probably driving myself insane trying to find logic in a presumably Swedish fairy tale told with 1960s references, but to me, this song doesn't make any sense. Now that I've ranted on about the lyrics of the song, let's discuss the performance. If you don't know a single word in Swedish, like me, you can completely ignore the lyrics because you could just pretend that they're singing about whatever you want. And the actual performance is absolutely fantastic. Both Lill and Svante have great chemistry together. Their facial expressions pair perfectly with the tone of the song, especially in an era where televisions are small and close-ups are quite common. You zoom into the artist's facial expressions so that they can actually put some emotion into the song, and people can actually understand what they're singing about, at least in an emotional way. There is one thing that puzzles me, and is that they brought in jazz flautist Sahib Shahab to play on stage during the performance, when the song is about drumming a saucepan. This feels like the equivalent of Sam Marino bringing Flo Rida onto the stage to gain a celebrity music artist to join the performance. Sahib is a very well-known American jazz saxophonist and flautist who worked with many artists, including Quincy Jones. Sahib, I feel, also deserves his own episode eventually, as his story is quite fascinating. But at the end of the day, the song is enjoyable, and as someone who doesn't understand any Swedish, I can just ignore the lyrics and enjoy the sound of their voices as I pretend they're singing about Swedish things. Svante is wearing a standard tuxedo, which, given men's fashion choices in the early days of the contest, doesn't surprise me. But what does surprise me is Lil's choice for a dress. Of course, the contest is in black and white, so I don't know the true color of her dress, but it's a lengthy affair going to just above her ankles, sleeveless with a wide V-neck, which is accented by a black tie. I would personally like to have seen her lean more into the princess role and have a more fancy-looking dress, but with all the 1960s references, perhaps it was a deliberate choice. Regardless, Lil's only entry in the Eurovision Song Contest as an artist, for me, is an absolute bop and performed very well on the night. Lil ended up performing the song again in the Melody Festival in 2020 Second Chance Round as part of their Hall of Fame lineup with Måns Zelmerlöw, taking Svante's place. Lil is wearing pearls and even a little crown attached to a headband, so she definitely had fun with the song the second time around. After her time in Eurovision, Lil was invited to Brazil to enter a competition being held there, with the composer and lyricist from her Eurovision entry writing a song just for the occasion. She continued to do music and appeared in several successful shows, many of which were broadcasted on television, and Lil was one of the first Swedish female artists to do stand-up comedy in Sweden, doing a one-woman show called De El Linfor, which toured across Sweden and Norway. In 1985, the Swedish broadcaster SVT approached Lil and asked her to be the host for the contest after their win in the previous year. Lil took on the hosting duty, and she is one of the most animated hosts I've seen in the Eurovision Song Contest. She's basically the Petra Med of 20th century Eurovision, and while I'll need to go back and watch every other Eurovision Song Contest, Lil stands out for a number of reasons as being one of the most memorable hosts of the contest. She begins the show singing the song My Joy is Building Bricks of Music, being the first host to open the contest with a song.
joy is building bricks of music, and music's building me a home. A tune sound best in good acoustic. My walls are looking after every tone. My house is built by many hands, growing slowly by the cord. Together we're making harmonies. So now you know what joy is for.
Despite this song not being an official Eurovision entry, this is an absolutely fantastic song by Lil, which also nods to her jazz background, having a saxophone player prominently on stage with her. During the introduction segments, she shows off her humorous side, showing off quips like this.
And this is really a special festival, because in fact it is the 30th, oh that's a nice word for a Swede to say, 30th. Eurovision Song Contest.
And this.
And that 600 million people, 600 million and one, hi mama, are tuned into this show. Oh, I gotta tell you. Even beside the participating countries, we also have Australia, Iceland, Holland tuned in, and there might be other countries that we don't know of.
Her most iconic moment, of course, is her returning to the stage to begin the voting sequence. She's wearing a seafoam green dress and it gets caught on some of the stage structure, and her bare legs are shown while she's frantic as the camera is trained on her. But she ends up revealing that it was a little stunt, pulling some tabs off her sleeves to reveal a second dress. It's reported that the EBU supervisor Frank Neuf was not told about the stunt, and he was not very pleased about it, and his wife was apparently shocked at the stunt. In the aforementioned interview with Eurovision Radio International, she says the following about the incident.
I talked to a friend of mine who is a designer, actor, Christer Lindarw, whom I've seen in different shows, and he's a fantastic person to make dresses that you can easily change, you know. It's like magic. You walk in a dress, and he did in a show that I did, he designed the dress I had, and I was dancing with a dancer. This is all prepared. And then in a turn, and he held my waist. He sort of quotation notes, he ripped off my skirt, and I stood there. And then I folded down another skirt. So I thought of that trick, and I thought, what if we let something happen? Let's say I get stuck, my skirt gets stuck in a pin.
Fixed to the decoration.
Fixed to the decoration, and I turned the corner. So at night we tried it, and there was a stair. I was coming up the stairs, and then on the bottom of the stair was a man working at the Scandinavian, holding nylon thread, and we measured it so it would be perfectly stretched when I had finished coming up the staircase. So it was all, and there were only 8 people who knew about this, that this was going to happen, because we had
secret.
We had to also prepare the camera people so they would know what was going to happen, and the mixer, and so I counted out them. Yeah, I think there were 8 people who knew about it. and I thought, people just screamed. Well,
there is one part of her hosting that I'm not the biggest fan of. During the performances of each entry, she sits on a chair near the conductor, and there are times where you can see her sitting and she occasionally sways to the music. It is a bit distracting during the brief moments where you can see her, but it's not the worst thing I've seen a host do. She introduces each act with a little index card with the flag of the country on the back so audiences at home can see which country is up next. She does a fantastic job at introducing each of the acts, and she conducts the show very professionally during the voting sequence while keeping a little bit of humor, such as this example.
Title of the song is Bra Vibrationer, which might sound confusing for English speaking people, but it doesn't mean what you think it means. It means good vibrations.
Upon Norway's victory, she pulls a little bit more humor by saying this.
I must say, I'm honestly very happy that this happened because Norway has been last song so many times that you really deserve it.
Happy, what do you think we are? Ah. Oh, I'm so happy. I don't...
Can you sing it all now? Do you have any breath left?
I don't think that matters.
It's humor like this that makes her memorable compared to many of the other Eurovision hosts, and I felt like she set the standard for future hosts of the contest. Both 1986 and 1987 had musical introductions, and there seems to be a legacy that she set, which really emerged in the 21st century, with hosts making more jokes and less newscast-type posing and authority. While most hosts continue to bring professionalism when it's needed, it's nice to see when they insert humor at the right moments, where it's needed to keep the show lighthearted and engaging. After her time in Eurovision, Lill went on to do a number of television shows both in Sweden and around the world, including the Swedish version of Sesame Street, The Lill Show in England, and a number of theatrical ventures including becoming the co-owner and theater director for the Maxim Teatern in Stockholm. Towards the end of the 20th century, she became a UNICEF ambassador and held body language seminars. Her list of theater and music work is extensive and far too numerous to list off here, but she's still active doing shows and other productions to this day. Lill Lindfor was married from 1969 to 1974 to the filmmaker Peter Wester, having one daughter together, Petronella Wester. She ended up divorcing Peter and cohabitated with the actor Brass Brandström from 1974 to 1984, and she ended up getting married a second time in 1991 to director Anders Byström. As of the recording of this episode, she is 83 years old and resides in Sweden. Now that we've learned about the life of one of Eurovision's most iconic hosts and second place entrant of the 1966 Eurovision Song Contest, let's turn our attention to some Eurovision news. It's time for the Eurovision Report. The Music Television Europe Music Awards cancelled their event in Paris out of an abundance of caution due to the conflict in Israel and Gaza. The awards were announced online, and Eurovision artists were among the nominees and recipients of the awards. Loreen, Katia, and Alessandra were among the nominees for Best Nordic Acts, with Katia ending up with the award. John's Tears won the award for the Best Swiss Act, and Måneskin won the award for Best Italian Act and Best Rock. Other Eurovision artists who were nominated for an award include Nora Krell for Best Israeli Act, Sam Ryder for Best Push, Esteen for Best Dutch Act, and Måneskin for Best Group. This is reported by Sanjay Jandani of ESC Today. San Marino has announced that its national selection program Una Voce per San Marino will return in 2024, taking place on Saturday, March 2nd at the Teatro Nuovo in Dogana. Everyone is open to register to participate, and all participants will receive on-site training focusing on the entertainment and music industry. During the casting phase, 80 artists will be selected for the next round, with a separate semi-final being held for singers who are either San Marinese or bands with a majority of San Marinese backgrounds, allowing for local artists to have their own platforms. Established artists will be selected separately and will go directly to the grand final on March 2nd. This is reported by Sabian Vandenberg of ESC Extra. This has been the Eurovision Report. Now it's time for Song of the Week. This is the part of the show where I talk about an entry that I love listening to, or perhaps it's terrible, controversial, or iconic. This week's entry falls under the controversial side, so let's find out which Eurovision entry is this week's Song of the Week. This week's Song of the Week is the Dutch entry for 1979, Colorado, sung by Zandra. Composer Rob Bolland, lyricist Ferdy Bolland and Gerard Cox, conductor Harry Van Hoff. It ended up placing 12th with 51 points, 10 points from Ireland, 8 points from Denmark, 7 points from Israel, and points from 7 other countries. This song is basically a tourist advertisement to go visit the great state of Colorado. I have never been to that part of the United States, but this song's lyrics are literally just selling points to go visit Colorado. I have nothing against the people of Colorado. Again, I've never been to the state, so I really don't know much about it. But lyrics from the Diggy Loo Thrush website include some of the following. The dollar is not so expensive anymore. Will you go with me and cross the ocean to a life full of adventure? The rivers are full of fish. Let's buy a second-hand house. Together, a whole day in the saddle. Think of the petrol you'll save. In the star night close to the fire, in your arms, I'm dreaming Colorado. I didn't know if the song was sponsored by the Tourism Office of Colorado, but perhaps it should have been. While I'm not much of an outdoor type person, I'm sure adventure in the wilderness appeals to some people, but honestly, these lyrics are bordering on the offensive for me. Not just simply for basically singing a 3-minute advertisement, but for doing so with deceptively catchy music and a 1980s style before the 1980s existed. One day I may visit Colorado for myself to see if that 3-minute advertisement was worth it, but I'm extremely displeased by the deceptive nature of these lyrics. Now don't get me wrong, if I don't understand a single word of Dutch, and I'm listening to the song just as a song, it's pretty enjoyable to watch. But the Eurovision stage is not an advertising billboard. The Dutch entry for 1979 gets Song of the Week, and it's for mixed reasons. Darn those infectious tunes. Lillenfor is a Eurovision icon. She not only has an extensive music and acting background, she has a fantastic sense of humor, and I believe she set a standard in hosting the contests. Many hosts have had to measure up to her success, and it's thanks in part to her that we have the style of hosting that we have today. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, there are many ways to do so. You can reach out to us on Instagram at ESC101podcast, or you can send us an email, ESC101podcast@gmail.com. Be sure to follow the podcast on whatever platform you're listening on so you don't miss out on any future episodes, and be sure to leave us a review so other Eurovision history fans can find us. Next week's episode will be returning to the Eurovision Travel Guide, so stay tuned to learn which country we'll be covering next. Here's a taste at my attempt of their language. Dofam, je sommage d'obrige. You have been listening to ESC 101. See you next time.